Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. How we doing, everybody? 204 McMonagle here with you on The Fan. If you're just tuning in thinking I'm about to get started, well, you missed 2 hours. Go back on the Odyssey app, check it out. I've been on since midnight on our five-hour midnight ride on this Friday morning where we celebrate the great Jalen Brunson. We celebrate the New York Knicks and their victory over the Pistons. Yes, we'll get into what's going to happen on Cinco de Mayo, oddly enough, on Monday. I don't know why it's oddly. It's not that oddly. And the Boston Celtics, who are welcoming in the Knicks for that game one. But last night, we saw Jalen Brunson. I talked about legacy yesterday. I talked about how important this series was for Jalen Brunson. I talked about how important the series clearly is for the job of Coach Tibbs and how important this was for this Knicks team not to head back to New York for a game seven with all the pressure in the world on them. And man, oh man, if we didn't see one of the crazier games, they came out with the intensity we were looking for. They come out in the first quarter. They get easy baskets. Brunson comes out on fire after arguably his worst playoff game as a Knick in game four. He comes out in game five, rather. He comes out on fire. He's hitting shots. They're getting the offense moving. They jump out to an early lead. They're up 14 after one and then have just an unbelievably disastrous second quarter. The ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, the runs, the pace, the Pistons would go on, the runs the Knicks would go on. I mean, they're up 14 after one. They're down two at the half. They're up 11 and going into the fourth quarter, and they find themselves tied with 6 minutes left and down 7 points. Points with 2.5. And really, that's the game, right? We could talk about everything that happened before being down 7 points with 2.5 minutes, but ultimately, that's where the Knicks won this game, and that's where Jalen Brunson has continued to cement his legacy as one of the best players in the NBA right now, as the best clutch player in the NBA right now, and with the hardware to prove it, and the best closer in the NBA right now, and one of the greatest Knicks to ever play. Like, that's where we're getting. That's not hyperbole. It's getting to that point. Now, he's got to win a championship. We get it. Walt, how great he is, no doubt. But we are talking about a guy in that moment, in that stretch, after having no offense for most of the fourth quarter, finding a way. And listen, as we're all sitting there disgusted, we're ready to kill Karl Anthony Towns, we're ready to kill this coach, we're already envisioning Game 7 and the nerves that we're going to have as we get ready for that game, and Jalen Brunson misses a layup, Jalen Brunson misses a three, they're down seven, and it just feels like we are destined for a Game 7. And then he gets a floater and the foul. Then he finds himself under the basket, all off balance, but somehow still finds a way to create the layup. Then off a missed shot, Bridges, who is not going unsung. He played a great game. Everybody's pointing to it. This was the best game, in my opinion, he's played as a Knick. This was his signature moment and signature game, and that putback off the miss to tie the game at 113 is the biggest play of the game. I know Brunson hits the game-winning shot. They're tied at that point. Brunson misses. The game isn't over. You go back, you probably go to overtime. Now, who knows? If he misses that shot, maybe that last sequence for the Pistons plays out different because they don't need the three, but like, he misses that shot, there's a good chance they're in overtime. You need that putback off of the Brunson miss to get that game tied. Bridges hit big shots in this game. It was the real first game I felt like he was impactful, like really, truly impactful. But it's Jalen Brunson, obviously, who hits then with 20 seconds left, the shot clock turned off, playing for the last shot, dribbling at the top of the key, makes a move, crossover dribble to an open three at the top of the key and absolutely buries it for a 116-113 win. And this guy, I mean, again, talking about legacies, he is now cementing himself as one of the great Knicks of all time. That moment, that's a moment that lives forever. You hit a series-winning three like that, you battle back after leading by as much as 15 in the game and 11 points going into the fourth quarter, and you waste it. And you blow it. And partly, not his fault necessarily, but the offense is running through him. They're not getting good looks. It's the same crap we saw at the end of game two. There's no flow. There's no passing. It's just him dribbling. And the shots aren't falling. And it's not there. And they fall behind. And you're watching, you know, Cunningham get to the basket. You're watching Beasley hit big shots. You're watching Hardaway hit a big shot. And suddenly you're down seven. The building's rocking. And you're feeling like, my God, we just let this enormous lead slip away. If they can't hold on to that, like, who would have felt good? Raise your hands. You, I can see. Raise your hands if you would have felt good about Game 7 had they blown a 15-point lead overall and an 11-point fourth-quarter lead. Tell me we would have all felt positive about heading back to the Garden Saturday for a Game 7. And instead, they have an incredible sequence. They go 11-1 on an 11-1 run to end the game, and Jalen Brunson, with the biggest shot of the series, the biggest shot right now, I'll say, of his life. I mean, I'm trying to think. Last year, he's moving on to the next round. They lost the last round. They lost this round last year. He got injured by the end of it. This was the biggest shot of his career. That's a huge moment. That's where, and I talked about this last night and talked about, you know, the conversation around Aaron Judge. Is he sitting 400 and having this great regular season and what he did last year and his two MVPs and the most home runs in American League history with a 61 home run is, you know, 61 home runs. 62 rather, I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind. The 62 home runs, tying and breaking 61 and hitting 62. And yet, what's his legacy right now? Great player, sure. But where's the hardware? Where's the championships? Where's the big moments? Where's the clutch memories? Where can I tell my kids I was there the night Aaron Judge did this, or I was there the night Aaron Judge did that, or I was in the building when he hit that walk-off home run? Well, we might not have been in the building because we don't live in Detroit, but we watched, and I can tell my kids about the night Jalen Brunson hit that big shot to send the Knicks to the second round. I can talk about his clutch ability, the 30-point average in the postseason, his putting the team on his back in the fourth quarter and coming back and eliminating a 7-point deficit with 2.5 minutes when it felt like things were wasting away. I mean, this guy is just flat out incredible. And is cementing his legacy as not only a clutch player, but as someone who is in the rarefied air of Knick greats. And it's just special to watch. It's frustrating to watch. This team has a lot to fix if it's going to go take on the Boston Celtics next Monday.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
But right now, I'm feeling good. And I'm starting to see, you know, everyone, I'm afraid to set up a camera. I got to be totally honest with you. I see EJ, the producer of Maggie and Perloff, he had a camera on him. You're seeing all the different people having cameras on. I'm a madman. I can't. And this one in particular would have been my wife talking about some basket she didn't win, or as she was talking to me at the end of this game. And I she's probably upstairs right now. I'm sure she's sleeping, but she's not happy with me at the moment. But the reaction to that shot is something you'll remember. We will remember that shot. And especially because it's reminiscent of the Jordan crossover, 98 NBA Finals, Game 6 against John Stockton and against Karl Malone and the Utah Jazz to secure his 6th and final NBA championship. Like, it's similar to that. It looks like that. It felt like that. It's not nearly with the same stakes. And I'm not trying to tell you that Jalen Brunson is Michael Jordan, but he's our Michael Jordan. And if you think about where this franchise was before he got here, and we think about what we thought of him when he did get here and to what he's become, it's a remarkable story. And it was an incredible game. And this Knick team is resilient. This Knick team is tough. And we've questioned that. And I feel like they've answered it. And I think the Pistons are going to end up, hopefully, if this is actually a series against Boston, we're going to look back and applaud the Pistons for their effort. And also because we got some answers from this team. And I do think moving forward now, listen, this hasn't happened. It's the second time in NBA history that a team has won all three road playoff games. The favorite has won all three road playoff games. It's never happened. It's happened one other time in the history of the NBA. I mean, to go into Game 6 off of losing Game 5, it's an impressive win. And especially in the manner in which it happened and the times you thought they had it won and the times you thought they had it lost, like to come back and do what they did last night, they're battle-tested. And it does tell me something about this team. Now, we're going to find out, because being battle-tested and being mentally tough is not enough to beat the defending champs. You have to go out there and play your best basketball. And that's going to include Karl Anthony Towns, who is another major story point in this game. Because to me, like, I know we're going to talk about how he disappears. I just have a hard time getting on him for and saying he disappears in the fourth quarter. Because in the fourth quarter, everybody disappeared. I was talking before. It feels like everyone is hiding in the shadow of Jalen Brunson at the end of this game. That's how it's handled. That's how they want to handle it. It's how the coach seems to want to handle it. That's the game plan. Jalen Brunson's going to take over and everybody just hang around and maybe get a rebound. Like, that's it. So I have a real problem killing Karl Anthony Towns for that. But, I mean, passing up open threes and throwing the ball away, looking afraid in that second foul shot that is ridiculously short, that barely grazes the rim. Like, those are the instances, right? Get it, you know, looking like you don't want to take your shot. That top of the key three, that's his shot. And he didn't want to take it. It was so his shot that OG Anunoby sprinted to the basket to try and get a rebound and wasn't there. It wasn't still standing behind the three-point line when Karl Anthony Towns threw the ball there. Like, that's how much of it's his shot and unafraid to take it. But we did get a lot of answers from Mikal Bridges in this game. This is the best game for me he's played in the Knick uniform. I know he had some decent games when Brunson was out with injury, the, you know, buzzer beater against Portland, but under the circumstances, game six to avoid game seven, that tip-in, and just really, I thought like he was impactful, really impactful offensively in this game, where I haven't got that feeling. Even when he's leading the team and scoring in the fourth quarter in game five, I never got the feeling he was overly impactful. I thought he was impactful in this game. I thought he had a really good game defensively, emotionally. I thought he was, you know, trying to get the Knicks up to his level, quite honestly. I thought he was really one of, it looked like he was a leader on the court too. Big block, enthusiasm, screaming, big shot on the tip in, pumped up. I was really impressed with Mikal Bridges. Karl Anthony Towns is another story, but I have a hard time killing him for not being there in the fourth quarter when they're playing hero ball with Jalen Brunson. But nevertheless, the New York Knicks win. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't the style of basketball it's going to take to beat the Boston Celtics. They were able to squeak through on the greatness that is Jalen Brunson. They're going to need more than that. As great as he is, they're going to need more than that come Monday. But that doesn't change the fact that this Knicks team had a young, upstart, physical, fast, long, tough, defensively-minded, young, upstart Pistons team that gave them everything they could handle, who answered every question and pushed back every time the Knicks tried to pull away. And I think the Knicks hopefully are going to be better off for it, because this was a truly tough physical series. It was a playoff series. And it was a lot of fun. Now that they've won it, I think Knicks fans, we could look back. We can have that final shot that we could take a lot from. And we could look back at how fun and intense all these games decided by 3 points or less. I mean, this is what it's about. The Knicks back-to-back years now have given us really fun, intensive, physical series that arguably last year, I think in the entire NBA playoffs last year, the best series was that 76ers series. And now the thing about this Pistons team is they're not going anywhere, and I can envision this being a rivalry moving forward. Now, I figured that was a possibility, especially with Maxey really emerging as a superstar in the postseason last year against the Knicks, but we know what happened. Injuries that continue to hamper Embiid's career hasn't led that yet to be a rivalry, but this Pistons team, would you be surprised if they're back next year? Knicks Pistons, who the hell wants to see that? As much fun as it was. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Dave in Queens. What's up, Dave?
What's good, Big Mac?
What's up, buddy?
Good, good. Let me just first say, I'm exhausted from this series. Like,
it is absolutely
exhausted.
Yeah. It is.
The ups and the downs and the emotional toll it takes on you. Exhausting, but that's what sports is, right?
100%. I mean, you get invested. You're invested at such a level, and to watch it go back and forth and to just, you know, watch the game swing hang in the balance, it's very difficult. And especially when you felt like, Like, never, I don't know if I ever felt, even going into the fourth quarter with an 11-point lead, I never felt comfortable that the Knicks were easily going to win the game. I felt good that they were going to win the game going in 11, but I knew they weren't going to win by 11. You know what I'm saying? But I certainly didn't expect them down 7 with 2.5 minutes left. It was a wild ride, man. The whole series was, but particularly 100, game 6.
Yeah, 100% to all of that. And I think here's my big question for you, and I was just thinking, I'm driving home from work. I don't ask. I don't know why I'm driving home so late from work. But my big question is, a really, really hypothetical standpoint, okay? They beat the Celtics in the next round. On a really hypothetical standpoint, right? Yeah, but they lose in the finals. Yeah. And then they lose in the finals. I'm curious to know how you think Knicks fans, and I'm curious to know how you would view the season, like, towards success.
Oh.
If it was a successful season or not successful season, do you think it would be almost like they got lucky type of thing and they shouldn't really, you know, go, you know, think about it too much in the offseason to, like, trying to make moves? Like, hey, we beat the Celtics, but, like, we lost in the finals, or this type of thing? Like,
okay, you know, well, one thing, when you say, I want to be specific with you because you're asking me a specific question. When you say finals, are you saying the Eastern Conference finals, or do they beat Cleveland as well and lose in the NBA finals?
NBA Finals, I'm talking about also. All the way to the end.
Dave, I appreciate, but that's the easiest question I'm going to get all night. If they make the NBA Finals, it is a rousing success. The season is a massive... If they beat the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers on their way to an NBA Finals and lose to... Other than Minnesota and losing to Randall and DiVincenzo, which would really make you sick, kind of. But if they lose to Oklahoma City or somebody of that ilk, like, it is a... They're back in the NBA Finals. They took down the defending champs. Like, if they win this series and lose to Cleveland and got to another Eastern Conference Finals for the first time, you know, since 99... It's a huge positive and a huge success, and especially because it's year one of this group that they put together, where you're hoping it's at minimum a 3-year window, you know, maybe a 4, you know, at least a 2 or 3 year window where you're trying to win a championship with this group. Like, I would think that is a massive, massive success. If they beat the Boston Celtics, it's going to be hard to not feel uber positive about this season.
The way I think about it is, like, if you ask any Knicks fan right now, you know, what are we trying to do right now? We're trying to win championships.
Yes.
Beating the Celtics, not championships. It's the same thing as, and not the same thing, I guess, like what you'd have to do in the offseason and, you know, the atrociousness of losing in the first round. But there's no difference of when you lose in the playoffs. At the end of the day, the team's trying to win a championship, fans want a championship, and you beat the Celtics. If we're celebrating that we beat the Celtics and that's considered a championship thought, like what the hell are we doing? You know what I'm saying? I understand it's a success. But at the same time, like, you know, there's much bigger things to take care of than calling the Celtics our championship.
Dave, and I appreciate it. And I mean, you're talking, like, this is not the New York Yankees, all right? It's not World Series or bust, as much as I understand your point that losing is losing, right? It's not, they made it out of the first round, they made it out of the second round. Ultimately, they're playing a tournament where there's only one winner. So, like, I understand that, but the idea that you can't take a major positive for a franchise that's been dormant for 25 years and hasn't been to an Eastern Conference Finals, you know, since 1999. If you're going to, you know, you want to get back there, it takes, you know, there is a little bit of a ladder. If they get past the Boston Celtics and defeat the NBA champions, ultimately, yeah, I'll be disappointed in the moment that they lose to Cleveland or that they lose to a Western Conference team. But ultimately, I mean, you got to understand where they are and what's going on. That would be a massive success. So you wouldn't feel any different about losing to the Pistons or losing to the Celtics or losing in the NBA Finals? Like, all those losses are the exact same thing to you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Right. But I just think that people are viewing, and I understand it because the Celtics are just that good. I think that if our mindset playing the Celtics is like this big bad wolf, like, we could compete. I understand what happened in the regular season, and I know people have mixed feelings about which team's tougher this year or last year. I just think that I hope the players, and I know fans, I just hope the players are not thinking about what happened in the regular season and just go in and play a 7-game set like it's any other team, because I think the mindset of success at the end of the day.
Absolutely, Dave, and thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Listen, right now they have an obstacle in front of them that nobody thinks they can get past. Right now they're about to go take on the defending champs and arguably the best team in the NBA. If they get past that, if they win this series, well, then expectations change and how we feel about it change. It's hard to see past the Boston Celtics for anyone. For any fan, you can't, like, we were looking past the Pistons to the Celtics because they were better than the Pistons. They're more talented than the Pistons. They have more experience than the Pistons. Like, you expect to win that series, and a fan can, you know, take a little peek over the fence and get ready for Boston. Ain't nobody peeking past the Boston Celtics. So, like, we are hyper-focused on beating the Boston Celtics. Both the Knicks, they shouldn't be worried about the next series. They shouldn't be worried about getting back to an Eastern Conference, getting back to an NBA Finals, or what's it going to take to beat either, you know, Indiana or Cleveland. Like, forget that. Who gives a damn? Like, it's all about the Boston Celtics in the moment. Once they win that series, well, now we're going to be expecting them to win the next one. And ultimately, yeah, unless they're hoisting the trophy, there will be a level of disappointment, because that is kind of what it's all about. It's about winning championships. But again, and this is part of the reason I get in trouble with Yankee fans, there is a level of disappointment. There are levels of failure. This would have been a colossal failure. Losing to the Pistons, losing to the Celtics really isn't a colossal failure. They're a better team. You're going to have to play great basketball and get lucky. Like, if the Knicks play the best they could possibly play, there will still have to be an element of luck, or the ball bouncing in their direction, or the Celtics playing poorly if they're going to win the series. So whenever you face that, especially in a game like basketball where we don't see a lot, this is not the NHL. This is not Major League Baseball. Right? Basketball lends itself to the best team wins most of the time. Not all the time, but a significant amount of the time. The better team typically wins a 7-game series in the NBA. Typically. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to, if they get past the Celtics, all of a sudden just go, that's it. I don't care what happens against Cleveland. We just won our NBA championship. Beating the Celtics is good enough for me. We move on to next season. And right now we feel great about the coach and the team, and let's just make a couple tweaks, but we'll be back next year even if we lose. Like, no. Like, the minute they beat the Celtics, now it's like, how the hell do we beat Cleveland and go win an NBA championship? Like, but that doesn't change the fact that they're like, if they beat the defending champ, Boston Celtics, that is going to be a massive success. That is going to be a huge victory. That's going to be a Knick victory that we haven't experienced in a long time. Like, that is going to be a level of success and a level of victory. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, when's the, you know, you're talking about the Allen Houston game. And beating Miami. That's the last time. Who'd they go on? They beat Atlanta next in 99. Like, they obviously made it all the way to the NBA Finals, but that's the signature win. That's the signature series. The one seed in the NBA Eastern Conference, you know, enemy Miami Heat. This Boston Celtics series would be the best win since Allen Houston's last second shot. Like, it's forever ago. I was a kid. I was a kid. I was still in high school. I'm not sure. I might not have taken my SATs yet. Like, that's how significant this win would be. So, yes, ultimately it's about building for a championship. But there are levels, and let's beat the Celtics, and then I'll tell you how I feel.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:33, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Exactly halfway through our five-hour midnight ride on our way until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Obviously, heavy Knicks tonight off of their series victory over the Pistons. Big shot from Jalen Brunson as he continues to be the superstar we all needed. And, I mean, Captain Clutch, the most clutch player in the NBA, comes through again for the New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. Let's go to John in Yonkers. What's up, John?
Jack, how are you, brother? How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So just before I get to my Knicks point, I just want to let you know, you're the man. My uncle is Mike from Merrick. He's a big fan. Obviously, he hasn't been calling in because of the Rangers, the bottle.
Yeah.
So he's down at the pool in Florida trying to get over the loss. When it comes to the Knicks,
he might like their next coach. Sullivan is going to be a good hire.
Listen, he loves every coach. You know what I mean? He loves every coach until they don't win. That's one of the things. But when it comes to the Knicks, unbelievable fight by them. But I think this series kind of showed that they're not ready to make that next jump yet. I mean, every game is close, not taking anything away from the Pistons, but when you factor in what the Celtics provide and what the Celtics are, when you have Tatum and Brown and even Porzingis and Horford, I think the Knicks are in big trouble. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns can't play the way that he played, tonight in terms of trying to win a game. And to be honest with you, I don't think that the series goes long. And at some point, it has to be, you're fine with mediocrity, in the sense that, it's okay that the Knicks make the playoffs every year, and obviously they'll be happy because they're going to sell tickets at the Garden for playoffs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But at what point, what's the missing piece? Obviously Brunson is an incredible playmaker, but, you have these other guys that, are they able to create their own shot? Josh Hart is a great glue guy. He's not somebody that can do that. Obviously you saw that tonight. You have Bridges. He hasn't really formed into his own. Karl Anthony Towns, again, another great player, but they're missing, aside from Brunson, it's not like every team has it, but the Celtics do have that. Obviously Brown is hurt, but they have Porzingis who can kill you. They have Tatum who can kill you. They have White who does everything for them. They have all these guys that kind of fill a role for them and can kind of take over if one of the guys aren't there. But, as you've seen in this series, if Brunson is not on his game, so when he goes out with the ankle, who do they need to give the ball to?
Yeah, no, I agree. They have to have, without Brunson, they don't have an identity right now. They would have to find it, and it's very difficult to do so in the postseason. My answer would be Karl Anthony Towns. He's got
to
be that guy.
OG
Anunoby stepped up and scored, 8 or 9 consecutive games with 25 points. I think he's showing more of an ability to get his own shot than we thought prior to this season.
Yeah. And he does a lot of stuff great defensively.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's not to take away any of that, but
they
just don't have that other scorer. They don't have that guy that can go and get a bucket. Towards the end of the game tonight, obviously the Pistons are double teaming and being super physical with Brunson.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get the ball, if you look at the Knicks offense tonight, and all they're looking to do is say, we need to get Brunson the basketball any way possible.
Mm-hmm.
When he had the possession trying to attack Thompson, everybody else was just standing and saying, man, I hope Jalen Brunson can make this shot. It can't be that if you're talking about trying to win an NBA championship
in the
league the way that it currently is.
I don't disagree, but I also don't know. They might have that player. They don't allow, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if they got a player that you think is that guy, are they going to change the style of just going through Brunson? Like, that just sound. Feels like that's what they think is their best option. Like, that's how it looks. It looks like they don't care who else can shoot. They don't care if they have somebody else who can score. I mean, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is a pretty, you know, successful scorer in the NBA. He's the all-star, and they're not interested in getting him the ball. It's Brunson. So you could bring in another guy. I don't know if the end of the game changes now when Brunson's off the floor. Like, that's like you mentioned, everyone, when you were talking about the Celtics, you said everyone has a role. I would be surprised. I would be surprised if this Knick team is able to add the player you're talking about. What they need to do is add better role players. Like, they're going
to have to. The crazy thing is, they had that role player with DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
They had that role player, you know?
Yeah, but they had to get rid of him to get Karl Anthony Towns.
What's
DiVincenzo, really? What's DiVincenzo? Yeah, I guess. I mean, people are really hung up on this DiVincenzo. He can shoot threes, and I like DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
But DiVincenzo isn't. You're talking about a guy who can just get his own bucket. Is that DiVincenzo?
Yeah. Listen, I don't think DiVincenzo obviously fits a system the way that the Timberwolves have it, right? Because Edwards is so ball dominant. Obviously, you have Randall, who, as New York Knicks fans, we all know, who's super ball dominant. But I think he brought that kind of tenacity. Like, if you take a look at what DiVincenzo brought for the Knicks, it was grit, it was passion, it was somebody that you knew what you were going to get, big shots and things like that. But he also provided an outlet for Brunson to not bring up the ball. You know, so obviously. Listen, Tibbs obviously plays all these guys, you know, all these minutes, which is fine, you know, and Brunson can kind of, you know, word it however he wants to word it, and saying, you know, the other night in the postgame conference, like, you know, this is why Tibbs played us this way, so we're ready for the postseason. I get it, right? And that's great and fine and dandy. I mean, I coach in high school, so I do the same thing. I mean, the guys that play on the court are the guys that play on the court. But the thing that DiVincenzo brings for the Knicks is another ball handler. And I don't necessarily think, I mean, if you take a look at Bridges, McBride, great player, ball handler, but he passed up a wide open layup tonight. You know,
led to a turnover. Oh my God, I was so annoyed.
I was sitting there watching it like, you know, what are you doing? But at the same time, you know, if Brunson has to be the hero and Brunson has to be the guy, you know, who wants to do that? But I think with DiVincenzo and his attitude and kind of, you know, his play style, I mean, obviously he complimented, you know, and it's one of those things, like you said, I mean, it's the cost of doing business if you're talking about getting a Karl Anthony.
And again, like, I don't know, like, we say this, and I'm not saying you're wrong, like, we talk about the tenacity and the toughness that he brought. They lost game 5 at home last year to the Philadelphia, too. Like, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like they were so mentally tough that they closed out Philly when they needed to and couldn't do it this year. They're in the exact same boat. Now, Philadelphia maybe is more talented, and sure, Embiid is a superstar, but Cunningham, you know, is coming into his own as a young budding superstar, and this Pistons team played really hard. I don't think they're missing necessarily what DiVincenzo gave him. I think the toughness came through. I think the mental toughness and the tenacity kind of came through in this series. Yeah. And they definitely need what you're saying they're needing. I can't get hung up, and thank you for the call, John. I can't get hung up on DiVincenzo all the time. Like, he hit some threes, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. He hit some threes and hit some big shots and is tough. Absolutely. I'm not saying he's not those things you said he is. I'm just saying, is that really what's the difference? Like, last year's team, as much as they had an opportunity, because all they had to do was beat the Pacers, does last year's team beat the Celtic team? Like, I don't know. Would you feel overly better about it? Like, if your argument is Karl Anthony Towns is soft, then yeah, sure, anybody would be more impactful because Karl Anthony Towns is soft and he's not going to show up in the game if that's how you feel. But, like, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. And I think Randall, the way he was playing last year, certainly in that stretch in January when they were so hot, he provides more of what I think the Knicks would need as another secondary scorer. But Karl Anthony Towns can be that guy. This is where I have a major problem with what everybody, like, they need this thing. Karl Anthony Towns can be the second scorer. Karl Anthony Towns can drop 30 on any game. Karl Anthony Towns is capable of that. They have to find a way to get that out of him. And I'm sorry, I understand that you wish that he would just do it and it would manifest itself. Part of it is it's Jalen Brunson's team. Like, the offense doesn't really flow in that way to allow it to happen. Like, again, in the fourth quarter, can you imagine him standing at the elbow calling for the ball? With the way the Knicks were playing down the stretch of that game, it wouldn't make any freaking sense. They've got to find a way to get him involved. They have to. And it's up to this coach to do it, because they're not going to beat the Boston Celtics without him. He has got to be an enormous player for this team. He has to be part of the reason. He has to be arguably the reason right there with Brunson if they're going to win this series. And you can't allow him to disappear, even if that's his nature. It's up to the coach to not allow it. And I know that's easier said than done, and I'm not saying I have the answer for that. They have to work on it. There has to be a way to involve him throughout the game at all times. Let him figure it out and be more impactful. We have seen it. We did see it in this series. Games 3 and 4 in Detroit, he was excellent. Games 2 and 6, he wasn't. And last night, he was invisible for a lot of the game. He was afraid to shoot after struggling and missing some shots early. And then he was there with everybody else, twiddling their thumbs while Jalen Brunson was winning a game, other than Mikal Bridges, who put back the tip in. And I shouldn't say twiddling their thumbs, but you know what? It's what it felt like. It's what it felt like. Teen Wolf. Did you ever see Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox? That's what it felt like. If you've seen the movie, you know. Chubbs is just eating an apple on the court. Like, they're not even playing because the Wolf is taking over the game. That's what it felt like. Now, the Wolf's good enough to win. And that's great, but, you know, eventually, no Wolf, no part. That's for you big-time Teen Wolf fans. But you're not going to beat the Boston Celtics having Chubbs walking around eating an apple while the Wolf is out there dominating. It's like, it's not going to happen. So, Karl Anthony Towns can be that guy. I refuse to believe he can't be. I refuse to believe Karl Anthony Towns is just soft. He's not it. He's not the guy. There's no point in trying. Let's just see if he can get us some rebounds and maybe hit some shots early in the game. But ultimately, when crunch time happens and when the rubber meets the road, Karl Anthony Towns is going to be roadkill. Like, I can't just give in to that thought. One, because I don't believe it, and two, because if it's true, the Knicks can't win. Plain and simple. I don't believe it, but if it's true, the Knicks can't win. So they've got to figure out a way, and Tibbs has got to figure out a way to get him more involved and keep him involved throughout the game, throughout the series. Has to. Because you're right. The last caller was right. John was right. You can't. You need that secondary scorer. You need someone who can create his own shot. We've seen him be able to do so. He can shoot the three. He can get close to the rim. He can hit off balance shots. He can hit fadeaway jump shots. He can hit off balance shots. Like, we've seen all of that. We've seen all of it. If he can get to the foul line, he's an incredible foul shooter. Like, do it. They've got to get him involved. This cannot be the Brunson show. Last night was the Brunson show for the last 2.5 minutes, and it was wonderful. It was a great performance. One hell of a show. The pageantry, the music. Wow, what a show. But it's not going to continue. Or, I mean, it may, but it won't be good enough to win. So somehow, some way, they have got to figure out a way to get him more involved. Just and I refuse to not put that on the coach. I'm sorry. Right? We know everything about this coach, and now, I mean, he's going to be a conversation moving forward too. It doesn't go away. The noise would have been extremely loud had they lost this series. But to me, he's still, I don't know if hot seat's the right term, but he is still under the microscope. He is still, you know, we are going to break down all of his decisions and how this Knick team plays in this series. And thankfully, he was able to get through that series. You know what it kind of reminds me of? A little bit, now that I'm talking about it. And it was a different situation, but if you remember the... And guess what? Here comes a Yankee reference from the Yankee shill. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. It's been a good 45 minutes since I referenced them. But 2017 and Joe Girardi playing against the Cleveland Guardians, who were defending American League champions, heavily favorites in the series. Game two, they had a lead. They blew it. And Joe Girardi didn't challenge a hit by pitch. It was like the glaring mistake. And Lindor hits the big home run. The Knicks, the Yankees lose the game. They go down 0-2 in the series. And it was like Jalen Brunson standing on the sidelines. It was one of those like, oh my God, how did you not do that? They rallied to win the series. The Yankees won the next three. The Knicks won last night. But ultimately fell short in the next round and was given his walking papers. Now, I don't know how Leon Rose feels about Coach Tibbs. I don't know how he feels. I mean, I would imagine he thinks very highly of him. He hired him. He's done an incredible job turning this franchise around. And I'm sure he does not want to let him go. But there are going to be people in Leon Rose's ear telling him he's holding them back. And he didn't do himself any favors in this series. And to me, what am I looking for? Numero uno on the Thibodeau checklist for this series. How does he get Karl Anthony Towns to be an extremely impactful player in this series? Because that's what they'll need. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for rotations. I'm not looking for bench minutes. Like, we could have that conversation. I won't dismiss them if that's what you want to talk about at 888-808-1019 as we get into the series on Monday. Fine. Those are all valid conversations. But ultimately, I don't think the Knicks bench is all that good. You know, you're going to use McBride and obviously Mitch. Other than that, it's going to be, you know, game plan decisions and little things like that. Obviously, campaign is played in most of the series, if not all the games in the series. But ultimately, the bench is very short. You know this. Last night, I thought that maybe with the Hacker Mitch thing, they might go to Achiuwa just a little bit to give them size and somebody that they couldn't foul. But in the fourth quarter, they had so limited personal fouls, they weren't going to play that game because they weren't anywhere near the bonus. But I don't know what else. For me, there's one thing. There's one thing that this coach has to figure out a way. How does he get the other superstar that, make no mistake, was brought here to win this series? He was brought here to compete with the best team in the Eastern Conference. Nobody saw the Cleveland Cavaliers becoming this good. Right? They knew they were a talented team. They have a superstar and they have good players. Nobody expected them to be this good in the number one seed and all that. But like in the offseason, they went out and made two moves. Mikal Bridges for first round picks and Karl Anthony Towns. But in specific, Karl Anthony Towns was the other superstar. He was brought here to help them win this series, to turn them into a team that could win this series. They have to find a way to get him involved. They have to find a way to let his offense play. They have to find a way to get him open threes. They have to find a way. And if he's not going to grab it by the horns, then they got to lead him. Fred in Fresh Meadows is on the Fan. What's up, Fred?
Chris, first time in a long time, and I'm just so wired. So, you know,
I know.
I slept for a bit and then woke up, and I listened to you at different points during the middle of the night because I have health issues. And you're very, you keep me occupied during those times, so I appreciate that.
I appreciate you listening. Hope you feel well.
Thank you. I go back to the 1960s watching the Knicks, and I don't think people appreciate just how incredible this series was. I mean, I know you appreciate it.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that I cannot recall a series where for six consecutive games, number one, games were on the line, and every single game was on the line in the last 5 minutes,
Yep. And
many of them going down into the final minute. And in terms of the, you know, as you refer, the ebbs and flows and the swings, I just, I saw the great Miami series in the 90s and the Bullet series in the 70s, just for every single game where there were those incredible swings. And what was the biggest lead in the series? Was it 16 points by the Knicks? Was that it?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember anything significantly more than that. So, yeah, probably somewhere between 16 and 20 max at one point for the Knicks.
I can't even recall any series ever hitting 20. There was never a blowout or never like a verge of a blowout. No one had held a big lead for a long time. So I think also people need to respect what these Pistons have become, and that this, you know, and the Knicks and Tibbs and the players, they deserve a lot of credit for hanging in there, because this is an extremely tough team that I think we're going to hear a lot about in the future. And I have to tell you, when I don't give up easily on anything, but I have to tell you, when the Knicks went down by 7, 2.5 minutes left, I figured I just don't see them coming back tonight. And again, what an incredible turn of events. So I don't live in the past. I mean, of course, I appreciate having been there for the two titles. But this was ultimately as enjoyable and satisfying an outcome, given how tough those battles were. And, you know, going forward, I agree with you. They need to get more out of Cat, and that does fall on the coaching staff. And, the great Red Holtzman, his whole thing was defense. That was his forte. And quite frankly, he would rely on the players at times to come up with ideas, because he respected them and their ability to do so. And I'm not saying that this is the answer for the Knicks necessarily, but I feel like, given all the assistant coaches that exist in the game today, I'm not saying they should fire Tibbs. I don't feel that way.
Right.
But they could really use, you know, the equivalent of an offensive coordinator or specialist to help Tibbs, because like with Red Holtzman, I really feel like his thing, his specialty is defense. And the fact that they could not get Cat more involved in the game last night, I do think is a shortcoming of Tibbs. And again, overall, I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, no, and thank you for the call. No, there's no doubt. It is a shortcoming of Tibbs. Offensive adjustments is a shortcoming of Tibbs. Side out of bounds plays, shortcoming. Offensive creativity, shortcoming. There's no doubt about it. In-game adjustments offensively, sure. He is what everybody's... I don't think there's any doubt he is on some level what people claim he is and when they say they have a problem with him. I just think he's also a little bit more than that. But he is the guy you bring in to a young, talented, inexperienced team that, or less talented rather, a young, somewhat less talented team, where he'll come in, change the culture, get them to buy in, play defense, gritty, tough, and figure out a way to play, you know, better than the sum of the parts. That I do believe that's who he is at his core, and that's his best quality. That doesn't mean he can't win an NBA championship, and it doesn't mean he can't take a team past that into the next level and into an NBA finals. But I do think that's his best quality, and I do think that's what's buoyed this entire thing. That's why we're here, is because he was the right guy at the right time for this organization to get to this point. But I do have questions about him as a coach. I do. In this matchup, you know, trying to figure, and this is going to be the test for me. For me, if I'm Leon Rose, again, I'm not privy to all the question, to all the conversations they have, you know, in private. I don't know how Leon Rose views it. If I'm Leon Rose, I'm watching this, and if Tibbs can't find a way to get Carl Anthony Towns going, it's going to be a major detriment. It's going to be a major negative in his pros and cons. It's going to be in the con section of the pros and cons when he weighs whether or not to keep him as a head coach, which I do think there will be a weighing one way or another. Tibbs is going to get weighed, for lack of a better term. And we'll see how heavy he is.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.